Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc. All rights reserved.
Now celebrating 5 years of burning up the airwaves.
If I were the man I was 5 years ago, I'd take a flamethrower to this place.
You're listening to the voice of small business.
This is Dr. Fraser Crane. I'm listening.
He's Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate.
We're back. It's 34 after. 800-531-3815, toll-free coast-to-coast. My website is www.jbsba.com. Check it out when you get a chance. Sam Norwood is our guest. He's a partner with Tatum Partners, and we're going to talk about the economy. Every month, he polls several hundred financial professionals out there across the country that are members of his organization. These are guys out there where the rubber meets the road, making it happen, making payroll, buying goods, selling stuff, and they report back to Sam and his folks here at Tatum Partners about what's going on out there, and then they compile the information. And among other things, he reports that information to us. Sam, welcome back.
Yeah, thanks, Jim. It's always a pleasure to be here.
It's good to have you back. I just got to say that I'm glad for the good news. I think, according to your guys, we got some good news here.
Well, we do. We saw the turn coming back at the 1st of April. We do this survey of our partners. We have 400 partners across the country who, most of whom are fulfilling the function of chief financial officer in companies. They remain partners with us, but they're fulfilling this function in companies in a broad variety of industries in 25 markets around the country. So we do this to get what we call a sandpaper feel of what's going on right now in the economy and in business conditions. We actually talk about it in terms of business conditions, and starting as early as the 1st of April, we saw this turn coming. We thought, oh, this looks a lot better. May was some confirmation of that. June was it was good. Also, 1st of July, now 1st of August, we've had a huge increase in how our people who are out there at companies of all sizes, how they're seeing it in terms of orders coming in and in terms of how they see conditions in these industries, which are a lot of industries.
Well, you have three areas, folks, that they identify. The number of people who say that things got better, the number who said things got worse, and the number who said things were about the same. And maybe the good news is in the middle one there, Sam, because of those who said things got worse, that number was almost cut in half from the previous month.
Yes, it went from 14% to 8%, looking back in the past 30 days.
So these guys don't like the numbers, but they like the trend.
Yeah. you look at this for both the changes and the sustainability of these changes. And initially, we thought, well, this could be the beginning of a turn. We're persuaded now, based on this and other things that we read, that the economic recovery is getting legs, and probably, in the absence of some major surprise, will be sustainable in the coming months.
Now, from your mouth to God's ears, right, Sam? What about capital spending? How did your guys report that?
Yes, well, capital spending is generally a lagging indicator. Capital spending is something
that's been lagging too long, though, Sam. It's about time for it to become a leading indicator.
we ask about capital commitments being made by companies that we're working in, and in the past 30 days, 25% of our respondents said the commitments rose. And that's up from only 18% in the prior month.
That's a nice jump in percentage, isn't it?
It's really huge. And and when you've got capital commitments going on, there are other commitments as well, commitments for projects. A number of our people are also chief information officers. And we see we're getting broad indications that chief information officers who have responsibility for implementing projects that are really the backbone of the current trend in improving productivity.
Mm-hmm.
That projects that had
the technology.
Yes, it's technology. And if, you know, during the past 2 years when things have been so so moribund, projects were deferred. And we think these projects, along with capital, major capital commitments, are coming on. And coming on in a big way. It's one of the reasons why we think this is going to be sustainable.
Stand by for just a minute. We're going to take a quick break, folks. It's 20 till. We'll come back. We're going to talk a little bit more about the capital spending picture and also the other thing that's kind of, that still hasn't really healed itself, and that's the employment side. We're going to get Sam's thoughts on that, too, after these messages. Stay with us. We're back. It's 17 till. I'm Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate. Let me tell you about our show coming up in the hour straight ahead. Joan Pride, senior editor with the Kiplinger Editors, is going to be with us. Looking forward to getting her back on the show. Right now, we're visiting with our good friend Sam Norwood, who's a partner with Tatum Partners. And Sam, tell us about Tatum Partners.
Well, Tatum Partners is a company that's about 10 years old now, in which we fulfill the functions primarily of chief financial officer and chief information officer. And we started in Atlanta and just grew right across the country, and people come in who are experienced in those functions and become partners of ours. We take a little sliver for the firm, but they're primarily, they become members of the management team in the companies where they're actually serving in these functions.
And your guys are basically CFOs and CIOs for Wren, aren't they?
Exactly. We do it sometimes for really small companies. We can do it part-time, and one CFO, for example, could perform that function for two companies mm-hmm. at the same time.
So they get a six-figure talent for five figures.
Well, yeah, exactly. You get the horsepower of a CFO when you need one. But not the full time commitment if you're still in the formative stages.
And if somebody wanted to avail themselves of your services, how would they do that?
Well, the best thing is to go to our website, TatumPartners.com, T-A-T-U-M Partners.com, and take a look there. There you can see who the partners are, and get a better flavor for where we are, who we are, and what we can do.
Right. All right, check that out when you get a chance, folks, TatumPartners.com. Okay, Sam, as we were talking about the capital spending earlier, the real deficit in the economy has not been the consumer. I mean, the consumer has been doing an incredible job if it hadn't been for the consumer, we'd all be back in a depression almost. But the consumers have done their job, but the capital spending by corporations, large and small, just hasn't been there. There are a lot of reasons for that. We've talked about those on the show many times before. But the fact is that for almost 3 years, maybe more than 3 years, we've been in a serious capital spending recession, and that's the indicator that we're really looking for. That and employment. And you guys are saying, your survey is saying, that capital spending is coming back a little bit. Hopefully it'll keep growing. All the people I talk to, my friends in the technology industry, are expecting second half of 2003 to really be a good precursor, a good run-up to getting back to somewhere near normal in 2004. But what about employment? That's even more of a lagging indicator this cycle than it has been in the past, isn't it?
Well, it's actually a fundamentally slow part of our economy, and it's in a way a shame, but in a way it's a positive thing. And here's how we see this. And we still see employment as being the slowest part of this recovery. And it's because we as a nation and as a world are having such tremendous gains in productivity.
Mm-hmm.
Think of all the things that we can do now that we could not dream of doing in twice the time only 5 or 10 years ago.
Right.
So these gains in productivity mean that employment, we're able to do so much more with so much less time that it's having a major impact on employment. And so as a result, we expect this to kind of still remain a plaguing sort of a slow part of the recovery.
I saw something the other day, Sam, a report, I think it was in the Wall Street Journal, that this recovery, the employment situation in this recovery has already surpassed the delay in hiring of the last recession in the early 1990s, which was the longest period of time that it took people to get people back to work, and this one has already surpassed that in terms of how long it took to get back to to moving in the right direction. But as you say, productivity is a lot of it. But another reason, Sam, and this is something that's going to take a long time to fix. I believe this employment thing could actually take several years to really get fixed, because we've got a lot of people who are not working right now, and the jobs that they were laid off from are never going to be in America again.
No, we've exported a lot of what we used to do, and there's been one of the top-selling books is Who Took My Cheese, and I think it's good reading because sometimes when things we've been in something for a really long time, and that cheese which we build up is our thing we depend on, that gets taken away, and the old expression of we need to reinvent ourselves has never been more true than it is today.
That's not going to be that. What you just said about reinventing yourself, that's not something that you're going to do one time and fix for the rest of your life. If you're even under 55, you're going to reinvent yourself at least once or twice or more in your life.
Yes, the pace of change is always increasing, and I think it's important to not to at least remain flexible, both geographically if you can, and in terms of what you expect is there for you to do. So, I think the other part of one's security in what one does is to be really, really good at it, dedicated and really good at it.
It also helps to be good at something that we still need, though.
Yes, indeed. Indeed. Yeah. Well, the other thing, Jim, that has to do with the economic outlook for small businesses in particular, but all businesses really, and that is the pricing and availability of capital.
Mm-hmm.
And that's changed in a kind of a not-so-positive way for us in the past month. Mm-hmm. And we need to talk about that.
We're going to talk about that, and we're also going to talk about what the people who report to you on your survey tell you about what's coming up for the next 30, 60, and 90 days. Yep. Stay with us. It's 10 till. We'll be right back. We're back at 7 till. I'm Jim Blassingame, the small business advocate. Sam Norwood is our guest. He's with Tatum Partners, and you can find them at tatumpartners.com. Is that right, Sam?
Yes, sir.
Tatum, T-A-T-U-M, partners.com. Okay, you mentioned as we went to the break that access to capital got a little tougher in the last 30 days. What happened?
Well, interest rates
long-term,
reached
right?
the bottom in the first, well, actually in the second week of June. June 10th, I think, will go down as the all-time bottom. And so for the past 2 months, interest rates have been rising. Mm-hmm. Interest rates on long-term rates, mortgage rates, are up by about a percentage point during the last 2 months. And so money is still quite available, and money is what drives the availability of money, and the pricing to a less degree, but the availability of it is what drives capacity of small business in particular to expand. And so there has to be demand, of course, for the products and services at the end. But often you hear of small businesses saying, if I only could get the capital. Well, capital has been available, and it's one of the basic stimulus of what has happened so far. Now, interest rates have risen. They're still low by historic standards, but they've risen by a point, and it's an indication that capital is somewhat tighter than it was, and it has other implications that may that are the only kind of worrisome thing that we see on the horizon. And that is, if it chokes off housing, then that would be not good. We've already seen that it is slowing down the refinancing of mortgages, and we believe that the refinancing of mortgages and people taking money out in those refinancings has been part of the reason why consumers have been spending. They spend a part of the money they take mm-hmm. out when they refinance.
Right.
And that has slowed down a good bit. So that could affect the purchase of consumer purchases, could affect the capital for small businesses, and could affect the housing market and things that are related to that.
Mm-hmm.
So that's the one area, but we don't think it's worrisome yet, but it could potentially be a little bit of the brake pedal on how rapidly this this recovery takes hold.
Now, what about your respondents to your survey? What are they saying about the next 30, 60, 90 days?
Yeah, we ask, in addition to asking, well, what has happened in the past 30 days, we also say, do you expect things during the next 60 days to get better or get worse or stay about the same? Looking out for the next 60 days, our people say that in general business conditions, 68% expect business conditions to be better compared to 58% just 1 month earlier. So this is great. It's the highest, the best, most positive response we've seen in the past 13 months, and indeed further back than that. Only 3% thought things would get worse in the next 60 days compared to 4% just in the prior month.
Mm-hmm.
So our survey respondents across the country are quite positive about the outlook for the next 60 days. We're not economists, and we're not making long-range predictions, but we are. We can tell by our backlogs and our plans and the tempo of what we see when the telephone rings and people are placing orders and what our own internal plans are for hiring people and making commitments for capital, that at least for the next 60 days, things look very positive.
On the hiring front, Sam, how long do you think it'll be? Let's assume that the economy continues to grow and expand and we don't have any major setbacks, over the next few years. How long do you think it'll take employment, the economy to absorb the several million that are unemployed right now?
Well, you have two things going on. Let's say, by historic standards,
I got about 30 seconds, Sam. I'm sorry.
If the economy grows at 5% real growth, and if productivity improvements are also at 5%, then that would be a slow growth in the opportunities for employment.
Right.
And we don't see a time right now when the employment is going to be growing faster than the rate of the economic growth in the economy.
Right. Sam Norwood, thank you for being here. Good job today, as always. We'll see you next month.
Great pleasure to be with you, Jim.
Sam Norwood, ladies and gentlemen, with Tatum Partners. That's TatumPartners.com. He'll be back. I got to go for this hour. Before I do, I want to thank my heroes, small business owners, and every member of our military standing a post around the world for us. God bless you. God be with you. This is Jim Blasingame, the Small Business Advocate, and this program is for you.
Insperity presents the Small Business Advocate Show with Jim Blasingame. This is a copyrighted production of Small Business Network, Inc., intended for the private use of our audience. Except as otherwise provided by copyright law, all other copying, redistribution, or publication without prior written consent is prohibited. All rights reserved.